Chapter 13. The Sigh of Two Matrons. "Cobalts," Sabrak told Matron Mother Xerath when he returned to her in her private chambers just off Cusor Lauren's forge room. "Chased from the upper chambers. Yet the kobolds knew we were here," Xerath said ominously. "And still they came," Sabrak agreed. "Some prostrated themselves on the floor and begged us to make of them slaves. The dwarves are formidable." "It is an army," the Archmage of Cusor Lauren stated. "An army. Not an expeditionary force. An army that could press Menzo Barons on for a bit at least." "An army that will overrun us?" Matron Mother Xerath asked. "We are formidable with wizards. But it appears that the dwarves have brought more than a few of their own," Sabrak replied. "Matron Mother Beenri knows. These are the dwarves of the citadels of the Silver Marches where Beenri waged war. Of course she knows. She is waiting for me to call for help." The Archmage of Cusor Lauren nodded. "To grovel," Matron Mother Xerath said. She lowered her face and closed her eyes, considering her play. Things had not gone well for her in the last couple years. She had lost Brakthal, her elder boy, as well as her powerful daughter Berylip, to a party come to rescue the captives brought to her fledgling city by the impetuous and impossible Tiago Beenri. She had lost Sarabel and Ravel, her other two children, to House de Werden, where they now served as nobles. Perhaps Sarabel would rise to the level of Matron Mother there in time, as she was married to Tiago. But as of now, neither of the powerful Zor Lauren nobles were available to Xerath, and she needed them. "Has Kyrie returned from her communion?" she asked without opening her eyes. "Not yet. I expect she has much to inquire about with the Spider Queen." Now Xerath did open her eyes, and she lifted an unappreciative glare at Sabrak, hardly in the mood for his quips. His shrug reminded her, though, that his position had become more tentative than her own. Sabrak had channeled the word of Lolth, enacting the darkening over the Silver Marches, but that darkening was no more, and Sabrak and Xerath could only take that as a sign that the Spider Queen's defeat in her quest to attain the Weave had left her reeling and retreating from arcane magic. And that very thing, arcane magic, had been Cusor Lauren's play. This house, more than any other in Menzo Barrenzon, or any other drow city, stood to gain the most in the event that Lolth continued to turn her attention to the Weave and the domain of Mistra. The Zor Lauren family had long embraced wizardry, and had elevated the male wizards to stations equal to the roles of the female priestesses, privately, of course. But were they now falling out of favor with Lolth, Matron Mother Xerath had to wonder? Was it an accident that the dwarf army now appeared in the upper chambers of their fledgling city? "What word from Phyllis and Jamus?" she asked, referring to the two Zor Lauren nobles who had continued to serve as masters of Sorcerer back in Menzo Barrenzon and had not yet been called to Cusor Lauren. "The same word. Demons roam the city. All of the houses are bringing them forth and in great numbers. Archmage Gromp has recalled Marilith, though she was reportedly recently slain by the weapons master of House Barris and Delarmco and should have remained banished." Sabrak shook his head, having no answers. "It is all chaos." "The Matron Mother tightens her grip," Xerath surmised. "And with Lolth's favor, so it would seem, if her brother wizard can so warp the ancient rules as to recall defeated demons." "You have to call to her," Sabrak dared to say. "To Lolth? Or to Quenthal Beenri?" "Yes," Sabrak answered. Matron Mother Xerath sighed and nodded, offering the wizard a sympathetic shrug. He had recently held on to hopes for a great ascension for himself and for his family in the new domain of the Spider Queen. "Should we summon demons of our own?" Sabrak asked. "Is this the way of the Dark Elves now?" Xerath shook her head. She would do no such thing until Kyrie brought her answers. If Lolth was done with the Weave and House Zor Lauren's aspirations had been crushed, and so Lolth would not now favor the Zor Lauren family or their fledgling city, filling their corridors with demons might facilitate their own doom. "Has there been any word from Hoshtar?" "Nothing to help us," Sabrak answered. The last he determined was that Jarlaxle had managed to slip away from House Doerden, along with most of his trusted minions, replacing them with new recruits to Bregendyearth. He is likely on the surface, though the possibilities range from coast to coast with that one. Kimuriel, though. Not Kimuriel, Matron Mother Xerath replied. I'll not deal with that one. I would rather crawl on the floor in front of Matron Mother Bayenry herself and beg her to take our city as her own. I understand your reluctance. He fornicates with illithids, Xerath spat. With his mind, if not his body. To trust Kimuriel is to trust a creature we cannot begin to decipher. Why Jarlaxle elevated him to lead Bregendyearth, I will never understand. Perhaps Jarlaxle believes that he understands Kimuriel. Then Jarlaxle fools himself. Zabrak accepted that outwardly with a nod, though Xerath knew that he, and the chief for that matter, did not honestly believe that the too clever Jarlaxle ever fooled himself. Find Jarlaxle, my friend, Matron Mother Xerath said. In the end, he may prove our only salvation. Only he possesses intimate knowledge of our enemies in the upper halls and of those back in Menzo Baranzon. He is the broker. He is always the broker. And never the honest broker, Xerath admitted, as much to herself as to Sabrak. She hated her position. She had worked with Bregendyearth often in the past. Her nephew Hoshtar's greatest achievement was the relationship he had quietly woven between Cusor Lauren and Bregendyearth, a potential alliance and trading route the new city would need if they were to compete with House Hunzrin. Other than that, however, Xerath had little use for Hoshtar. He was a mediocre wizard at best, who spent more time worrying about the set of his ridiculous red veil than he did his skill in the art. It was likely, Xerath knew, that Hoshtar's incompetence was exactly why he had found some measure of success in dealing with Jarlaxle, for surely Hoshtar could be easily controlled by that one. We will find our way, my blessed matron mother, Zabrak said with a bow. Matron Mother Xerath offered a calm smile and waved him away. She looked anxiously to the room's other door, the one leading to the private chapel she had fashioned. Kiri wasn't in there, having gone to the main chapel in the primordial chamber for her most important commune. Perhaps it would do Matron Mother Xerath good to go and pray as well. House Doerden, Gromf said to the Matron Mother. They stood on the balcony of House Bayenry, staring across the city to the newest outbreak of demonic violence along the western wall of the Great Cavern at the gates of House Doerden. It is not a coincidence, I expect, Gromf added sardonically. Quenthel stared and contemplated. This was a move against her by proxy, and some of those major houses aligned with her and supporting her on the council were surely involved. They were testing her. And more than that, testing the level of support House Bayenry would offer to the puppet House Doerden. And doing it all with demons, beasts that couldn't be traced to any one house or another. Go there and take your pet demon, Quenthel instructed. I have sent the Zorlaren cousins from Sorcerre to Ravel's side, Gromf replied. Both are masters, their ranks honestly earned. That is a formidable trio of wizards. With their leader, Ravel Zorlaren, standing to gain if the Matron Darthir is destroyed, Quenthel said. Ravel would like nothing more than to see his sister Sarabel ascend to the throne of his new house. Go, she paused. No, she said, shaking her head as she changed her mind. Go back to Sorcerre. Use your powers to find your safe room in Cusor Lauren. Check in on Matron Mother Xerath. Collect her plea for help, you mean? Matron Mother Bayenry grinned. She walked from the balcony and pointedly shut the door behind her, letting Gromf know that he should be gone immediately through magical means.
Glad I am to see you, cousins, Ravel said to Phyllis and Jaimus when the two appeared, quite unexpectedly, in the audience chamber of House Doerden.
You have demons at your gate, cousin, Phyllis said.
The Archmage supposed that you might welcome our help, Jaimus added.
More than at our gate, Sarabel said, entering the room. The bottom floor is thick with manes, and Casme have gained the balcony.
Where is the Matron Darthir? Jaimus asked.
hopefully being chopped into mounds of sludge by the axe-wielding Balgura that commands the mains, Sarabel said, hardly hiding her sneer.
Dear cousin, High Priestess, she is the matron mother of your house, Jaimus dared to say, his impertinence drawing wide eyes from the astounded Sarabel.
The woman stuttered a few times, as if futilely trying to fashion a response.
Rid this place of demons, she ordered and stormed back out of the room.
Ravel considered his older cousins carefully. These two were no minor wizards. Both were masters of sorcere and had been for decades, Jaimus since before the onset of the spell plague. Most accountings had Jaimus third on the list of successors to the position of Archmage of Menzo Baranzon, with Phylus closely behind. Only Sabrak and Brokthal had been thought of more highly among the House Orlaren cadre of powerful wizards, and then only Sabrak, when the spell plague had taken most of poor Brokthal's mind. Still, for a male of any standing, short of the Archmage himself, to speak to a High Priestess in such a manner openly was quite shocking to Ravel.
Where is the Matron Darthir? Jaimus asked Ravel. In her chambers, as always, other than her jaunts to sit at the council table when High Priestess Sosumto Beenri comes to fetch her.
Show us, said Phylus.
Ravel turned a puzzled expression on the younger of the masters.
We have demons inside the compound.
Inside the house, Phylus corrected. So take us to the Matron Darthir. The trio moved along the corridors, walking calmly while drow warriors rushed to and fro. Ravel took careful note of the house guards here, suspecting correctly that those warriors associated with the city's second house might well be seeking to avoid the fight. He had no doubt that Barriss and Delarmgo had quietly arranged for this battle. The corridor leading to the matron mother's room was strangely empty, but not quiet, as sounds of battle could be heard behind the central, ornate door. Ravel stopped with surprise, but Jaimus grunted and cursed and rushed ahead, Phylus close behind. As they neared the door, there came a thunderous retort. The doors flew open, and a host of manes came flying out, crashing onto the floor, where they lay twitching and smoking, melting away. A flying chasme demon, a gigantic, ugly housefly, sputtered out the open doors, trailing smoke as it crashed hard into the opposite wall. It too fell to the floor and there died. The wizards turned the corner, eyes wide with surprise, and none were more surprised than Ravel when he too glanced in upon Matron Darthir Dowerden, battling ferociously, her metallic quarterstaff spinning gracefully in her hands, darting left and right and swatting aside the demon manes. In desperate battle had Dahlia found clarity. The worms writhing inside her head could not distract her now, not with demons clawing at her from every angle. Kozah's needle was her salvation, building another charge as Dahlia sent it prodding hard into the chest of a mains, then swung it about and tapped it hard on the floor, then broke it into a tri-staff and launched it into an overhead twirl, smacking aside another chasme. All of her focus stayed on that remarkable weapon, breaking it through its myriad motions and combinations. It was a staff, a tri-staff, bow sticks, flails, at her command and with the subtle workings of her skilled fingers. And she used all of her weapons and repertoire, for in that demanded focus, Dahlia found mental clarity and kept the writhing worms of confusion at bay. A lightning bolt shocked her, sizzling out to her left and dropping a line of manes. She noted the drow at the door, noted the second wizard in his spellcasting, and noted his angle. His lightning bolt shot in as well, to the other side, destroying some manes, but before it could plow through as had the first, Dahlia's magnificent weapon prodded near it and gobbled up the bolt. Now she felt the power of the lightning within Kozah's needle, and she sent it forth with renewed enthusiasm. She worked it out to the left, then left again, inviting those manes pressing her from the right to push in, clawed fingers reaching for her. Across came Kozah's needle, slamming the two, and Dahlia let free some of the lightning energy, the blast lifting the manes from the floor, throwing them up and back right over the next in line. Jaimus and Phylus gawked. Ravel's lightning bolt followed, dropping another line of the least demons, and once again swallowed up by Dahlia's hungry weapon.
Without hesitating, Dahlia rushed forward, leaped into the middle of the pack, and stamped her weapon on the floor, releasing the energy in a mighty circular electrical blast that hurled the manes aside far from her, where they became easy targets for the three drow wizards with their magic missiles and gouts of flame, and were quickly, summarily destroyed. Dahlia stood there then, breathing hard, trying to hold on to the clarity as the worms writhed once more.
"The weapon,"
she heard the one called Ravel explain to the others.
"These demons were allowed in here," said one of the others.
"To destroy your matron mother," said the other.
And they kept talking, but Dahlia was falling away once more. She felt the drow grab her by the arms and usher her away, still talking amongst themselves, but now seeming far, far distant. Matron Mother Mesbaris Armgo was not happy as the reports began to filter out of the Doerden compound. Not at all. The fight had ended, all the attacking demons destroyed, banished, or driven from the scene. Marilith was about the place now, stalking the grounds with her contingent of lesser guards, and so Mesbaris understood Archmage Grump was not far behind. And the most recent report indicated that Matron Mother Bayenri was there too, along with that wretched Sosumtu, and all the priestesses of the Fane of the Goddess. Indeed, those very priestesses had banished many of the demons sent against House Doerden. Worst of all, Matron Darthir had escaped unharmed. The Iblith abomination lived, and would sit again at the table of the ruling council.
"Let me go and slay Marilith once more,"
Malakdorl grumbled at Mesbaris's side. "Shut up," she replied, without even bothering to turn and regard him, and in a tone that had even the impetuous and prideful weapons master swallowing hard. Mesbaris knew that she had to regroup, and quickly. Her alliance, the other noble matron mothers who had agreed to go after House Doerden, would not be reconstituted. For all their efforts and plotting, only a handful of Doerden House guards had been slain, and half of those had been low-ranking warriors Mesbaris's own house had provided. But Matron Darthir, this Dahlia creature, had survived. Terandarg Delarmgo, one of Mesbaris's most capable scouts, rushed back into the room, and on her nod ran up to her and began conversing with her secretly, shielding his hands with his wide cloak and flashing the matron mother the information in sign language. Mesbaris dismissed him with a wave and closed her eyes.
"What news?"
High Priestess Teyrul, Mesbaris's daughter, asked tentatively.
"Go to Malarn and tell Matron Jindia that she and I need to parley,"
Mesbaris replied curtly, and she waved her daughter away. Her wince was telling, though, and all in the room understood that the spy Terandarg had not delivered welcome news. All in the room wisely followed Priestess Teyrul out of Mesbaris's chamber. The matron mother of the second house moved over and flopped into her chair, trying to sort out her next move, any move that would somehow repair the damage of this day. She had known that the demons would inflict little pain to House Doerden, with the Bayenris and Bregandierf so near. But the critical point to the assault was to facilitate the death of the abomination, the surface elf posing as a matron mother of Menzo Baranzon. But Dahlia had escaped, and worse, Mesbaris now had learned that her spies within the Doerden compound, the guards to Matron Darthir Doerden, who had allowed the demon encroachment to her chamber, had been discovered. Those Barrison Delarmgo warriors had admitted their crimes.
"The Mind Flayer,"
Mesbaris muttered under her breath, solving the riddle, for surely the matron mother's pet illithid had aided in extracting the information. What couldn't Quenthel Bayenri find out, Mesbaris wondered, and feared.
"She will make a spectacle of it," Mesbaris said.
Terandarg had told her that the trial would be public, as would the transformation.
The transformation.
Her warriors would be turned into driders, in full view of the city, in full view of those who had dared conspire with Matron Mother Mesbaris to bring about the fall of Matron Darthir. Those driders, no doubt, would become the core guard for the abomination, a poignant reminder to Mesbaris and to all who would quietly stand with her of the consequences of going against Matron Mother Quenthel Bayenri. It had not been a good day.